Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Taylor Thomas. I am guest hosting the Coach Ben Rosario show today. I'm a head coach of Thomas Endurance Coaching, and today I have the privilege of talking with Matt Yano. Just got back from the Berlin Marathon. And there he ran 2:12:28 for 13th place overall. That was about a four-minute PR for him. And so we're going to chat today and talk about the race and kind of goals and the future. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yeah, like you said, I just got back to the U.S. last night. Came over to the East Coast and surprised my family. With a little visit to their house while I'm on my downtime. So, you know, it's nice to be able to hang out with the family and recover there with them. And, you know, I'll get back to Flagstaff in next week here and then get back to work. But for now, I'm just enjoying the downtime and excited to be coming home with a new PR.
Yeah, fantastic. I bet your folks were excited to see you. Nice surprise for the family.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was tough keeping it a secret from them for the last couple of weeks because we talk so frequently. But, yeah, you know, it's always seeing the looks on their faces when I showed up at the door last night. It was all worth it. So they're excited to see me. I'm excited to be home and to get to spend time with them and not have to have the pressure of my normal training routine while I'm here. So it'll be nice to spend my recovery with them.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we'll kind of jump right into it. And I think personally, as kind of what I would call a running nerd and a fan, I'd like to maybe we can talk about or have you kind of run us through the build up to Berlin, you know, and kind of what that looked like for you. Maybe from a training perspective, and then you know we can talk about. Love to know kind of your goals going into it and your mindset. So, would you mind running us through kind of what that looked like for you?
Sure. Yeah. So this segment is a little bit different than the previous marathon segments that I've done. So this was my third marathon. I did my first one was in Chicago last fall, and then I ran the LA Marathon this past spring in March. And in this one, you know, we're just, my coach and I, Ben Rosario, we're trying to figure out the best approach for me and figuring out how we can, you know, have the best training cycle going into the trials. So we're trying different things in these other marathons and then kind of picking apart the things that work best and then, you know, using those in the trials. So in this one, we took a little bit of a different approach than what we've done before. And whereas before I was on a pretty strict 9-day cycle where it would be one workout followed by two easy days, one workout, two easy days, you know, one long run, two easy days. So it was a very, very similar schedule every week, or every 9 days, I should say. And, you know, we build in those extra recovery days because I live at altitude. So it's harder for me to recover than say someone who lives at sea level, who might be able to get in more quality sessions because their recovery time is going to be shorter. So, that's kind of a built-in, you know, a little bit of a fail-safe for us. But in this segment, we approached a little bit differently, and I had kind of a seven-day cycle instead. So my workout days were Tuesdays, and then on Thursdays, we did either a medium long run, so something like 15, 16 miles, something in that range, or like a fast track session, short track session, and then hard long runs every weekend. So kind of my favorite difference of this training cycle was probably the hard long runs. You know, so before I was always, you know, I was doing a long run every week or every 9 days, but a lot of them were just easy about putting in the miles, just time on your feet. But in this cycle, we really wanted to take a different approach since the long run most closely mimics the marathon. We wanted to make sure that we were putting in really hard work, specific sessions in those long runs. So I would incorporate tempo runs into my long runs, fast finish long runs where, you know, it'd be kind of a more relaxed pace for most of the run. And then, you know, the last 3 to 5 miles or so would be really hard, faster than marathon pace or right about marathon pace. You know, some different things like that. So, Those are a couple of ways that it differed. And then, so coming into this marathon, you know, my goals really since I started marathoning last fall in Chicago, my goal has been to run 2:10 or faster, which is fairly lofty, but, you know, I feel like I'm making really good progress. I still feel like I'm capable of running it. It just has a couple more things have to kind of fall into place, continue getting stronger and work on the mental side of it. And, you know, I believe that I can get there, hopefully, at the trials, you know, because I think that's what it's going to take to make the Olympic team. But, yeah, so that was the goal coming into Berlin, run 2:10 or faster. And in the race itself, I was on pace for that for about 23 miles. Through, you know, 35, 36K, something like that. And then slowed down a bit towards the finish as my legs got quite heavy. and mm-hmm. The group kind of split up. The group that I was running with kind of split up. So it was tough once you find yourself out there by yourself. But yeah, you know, I would say all things considered, I'm decently satisfied with the race. By no means overly happy, you know, having not achieved my goal, but it was a good step towards what I've been working for. So, you know, you can never be too disappointed with a 4-minute PR. So I'll take what I can get.
Yeah. So kind of on that note, you know, you've been, you and Ben both have been pretty, I guess, public about putting your goals out there. You know, a lot of runners we'll kind of keep that information pretty close to the chest, you know, because if the information's not out there, right, it's not as easy to disappoint, right? But you guys have been really straightforward and kind of talking about your goals for the 2:10 and your goals for the trials and going to Rio. What's it like, or, you know, do you feel like that's the best way to go about it, even if you know that there's a chance to you know, to not reach those goals? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on kind of being public and really forthcoming with that, you know, I guess kind of personal information?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you look at kind of the way that our team works, Northern Arizona Elite, you know, part of our mission, part of our goal as a team is to share all the different aspects of our running journey, of our running careers with our fans. I think that's one of the biggest ways that we differ from a lot of the other groups and a lot of the other individuals that are out there. You know, we put our training logs online. We put blog posts up all the time. We talk about our goals. You know, we put out workout videos. We do a lot of stuff that, you know, really attempts to create a personal connection with our fans. We don't want to have this distinction between, you know, the professional runners and everyday runners or hobby joggers or whatever it might be. You know, we want to feel connected to our fans. We want our fans to feel connected to us and be part of our journey. So, you know, we put it all out there, and I think that we've done a good job of sort of bridging the gap between all different levels of runners. And personally, I don't see any harm in talking about my goals. You know, I've done it from the beginning, and I feel like you know, I've shared other aspects of my personal life with the world, and I just don't really see any downside. You know, I think the more people get to know you, the more that they're going to want to root for you, and they're going to feel part of your, they're going to feel like they're part of your, you know, drive towards the trials or towards whatever goals you might be trying to achieve. So, you know, for me, it's just kind of building that support network, and the more support I feel like I have, the more confident I am, and the more, you know, the more I can summon strength when I'm in a marathon and I'm at mile 25 and I'm feeling sorry for myself and my legs are hurting and I want to stop, and it, you know, I just go back and I think about all the people who are cheering me on, and I think about people who are following along on Twitter, people who are watching the live feed or whatever it might be, and just, you know, thinking about them and thinking like, you know, it just kind of gives me this extra motivation. You know, I don't want to disappoint people. I want to live up to their expectations. I want to exceed their expectations. And I want to kind of just, you know, make it worth everyone's while. And, you know, I think part of that is just sharing goals like I have done. And I think the other thing too is that I think a lot of people don't like to share their goals. It's, you know, it's a very personal thing, and it's up to each person whether they want to share them or not. But I think some of it does come down to, you know, these ideas of what if I don't, you know, what if I say I want to run 210 and I don't, you know, then people are going to be disappointed. Well, that's not really the case. That's not how I see it. I think people are afraid of failure. But, you know, I don't really see anything wrong with, I don't feel failure. I know that sometimes I'm going to fail at the things that I try to do. I have failed. I failed in Chicago last year when I tried to run 210. I ran 217. But, you know, I put myself out there. I put myself in the running to achieve that goal. And while I may not have gotten it that time, you know, I went for it again this time, and I got 5 minutes closer. So, you know, I think there's something to be said for just being open and sharing your goals, and, you know, just gets more people on board, and I think creates more of a personal connection between yourself and the fans. So we're all about it at Northern Arizona Elite. We're going to keep doing it, and hopefully the fans enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you guys have done, I think that does so much for the sport. You know, it creates a, you know, which you and everybody on, you know, NAZ Elite, you know, just that kind of transparency lets the average runner know that, you know, you know, even someone at a highest level as you are, you know, you have, you know, crappy workouts and your legs hurt, you know, and you still feel, you know, down on yourself during the middle of a race or what, you know, because it can seem to a lot of people, you know, who can't imagine running at that level, that it's, you know, that you might not suffer from the same things that they do. But I think, you know, having that, you know, having, again, that transparency, it kind of helps bridge the gap, right? And it becomes a much more accessible sport. And I think it's, you know, I think it's fantastic. Again, just as a fan and, you know, and knowing you and Ben, and I, you know, I think that's something that, you know, endurance sports in general can really benefit from, you know, is that that connectedness to the fan base and to people that really care about the success of, you know, athletes like yourself. So, yeah, I applaud you guys for sure. I think it's fantastic to put that out there. It takes a lot of courage, too, because, like you said, if you don't reach it, then, you know, then it's public. But I think it's good for everybody to share in that success. I know you spent a little bit of time with Shalane Flanagan, and I was hoping maybe you could maybe just talk about, you know, kind of your thoughts on that. I know you went over there to train at sea level and get a little time in before Berlin. And, you know, you guys, I know she kind of helped you. She had run Berlin before, you know, the fastest time right behind Caster. And so she had some experience there. And, you know, was there takeaways from that time in Portland? And do you think that helped your time in Berlin and your race?
Yeah, so it was a cool experience getting to hang out with her and live with her for a couple weeks. And it all kind of started when Shalane was training in Flagstaff for the Boston Marathon this year. So, you know, we had met before and we had become friends before when she was in Flagstaff training for Berlin last year. And, you know, this time around, she, in the build-up to Boston, we started talking about Berlin, and I was asking her how the race went, and, you know, just kind of getting her more personal thoughts about it. And after doing that, it kind of got the idea in my head that I wanted to do it. So, you know, that was kind of where the idea for us to do Berlin was originally planted, for me to do Berlin was originally planted. And then, you know, during that same trip as well, she said, you know, if you ever want to come out and try some sea level training and kind of just get out of the altitude of Flagstaff, or visit Portland, you know, just for fun, let me know. You'd be welcome to stay at my place. So I decided to take her up on that, and she was awesome. She was happy to have me. And yeah, it was interesting getting to learn from her. I mean, very much like I was just talking about, you know, us talking about our goals and talking about our training and putting that all out there and making the connection between us and the fans. You know, I kind of got to do that with Shalane as well. In living with her, just seeing, you know, she struggles with the same things that I do and that other athletes do. And you know, she's not always 100% motivated to get out the door. And, you know, it just kind of really, you see that even, you know, superstars in the running world are just normal people. And, you know, we bonded over our love of sweets, and we wanted to indulge a lot, and we were both kind of trying to hold back. We were in these peaking phases. And so it was cool to see that, you know, she's not a machine, and just kind of normalized her in my eyes. And, you know, at the same time, I was picking her brain about Berlin and trying to figure out, you know, if she had any marathon tips for me, any fueling tips, you know, nutrition the night before, the day of, just all these different things that could factor into the race for me, and, you know, how to stay mentally strong later in the race when you're starting to feel tired and you're starting to, like I mentioned before, you're starting to pity yourself a little bit. So, you know, it was just cool to kind of pick her brain along the way and just see how an athlete like her prepares day in and day out. You know, it's all about just really good life balance, and I think that helps you to achieve better results in running as well. So, you know, for her, it was really good balance and everything. It was, you know, we just kind of hung out and enjoyed our time together. And, yeah, I think that was important for me going into the marathon, just, staying relaxed and trying out sea level a little bit. So it was overall a really good experience, and I would definitely do it again.
nice.
If the opportunity presented itself at some point in the future.
Yeah, I would imagine that, you know, just having, it's so easy to kind of get caught up in your own, you know, your own mind and your own day-to-day kind of challenges. I would imagine, you know, just having that little mental break, if nothing else, you know, having somebody to talk to and just to kind of take yourself, you know, almost away from your own thoughts. You know, even though you're obviously still focused on the race, I would think that would be helpful just to, you know, leading up to a big kind of priority race like that. Just to have a little time to kind of relax, you know, even though you're still working hard and focusing, have someone you can kind of confide in and just take a little bit of the stress and kind of get outside of your own mind for a while.
Yeah, it was nice. And, you know, the same, it's also kind of like just having new places to run was really nice. I mean, when I'm in Flagstaff, I love training there, and I'm just used to running so much, and being home, you know, when I'm at home and I'm kind of tapering off and I don't have as many miles to run or as many workouts to do, I tend to make myself busier in other ways. So I think that was another one of the benefits of going to Portland. You know, I was able to kind of keep myself distracted a little bit, but, you know, I wasn't tempted to do all, you know, projects around the house or, you know, things like that that could have, inadvertently made me more tired for the race. You know, I was able to really focus and have new places to run so I could stay mentally engaged when normally I would be going crazy. You know, that sort of temper tantrum or taper tantrum, you know, you're not running as much, so you kind of start to feel antsy and you want to race. But yeah, I had enough distractions in Portland that I was able to feel fresh and a little bit distracted while at the same time really getting prepared for the race. So I think it was a good balance you know, things that I needed to prepare myself to run well in Berlin.
Nice. So we've talked a little bit about kind of background and leading up to the race. Obviously, you know, you've kind of ran us through, you know, how that training differed from Chicago and LA. So now let's dive into kind of what the race was like. And, you know, like you said before, you know, you were on 2:10 pace, till pretty deep in the race, you know, and then no doubt the demons creep in like they always do. Can you run us through just kind of, maybe, you know, like beginning, middle and end of the race and some of the things that went through your mind and some of the things that you were having to deal with, and then maybe, you know, some of the things that you felt were, you know, were different that you did better than Chicago and LA, you know, whether that's, you know, I know you said you wanted to dial in, you know, nutrition and hydration, that was an issue for you in Chicago. And So take us through Berlin and what that kind of felt like for you.
Sure. Yeah. So Berlin, the race, I guess let's get right into the race. It started off, we were supposed to have pacers. We were supposed to have two pacers for a 210 group. So the goal was to essentially go through the half marathon right at, 105 even, maybe a couple seconds faster. So that was kind of the idea going in. And starting out, our group was established pretty quickly right off the line. And there were probably, 20 or 25 people who were going to try to go with that 210 group. So right off the line, pretty much, there were a couple faces that I was looking for, people that I wanted to run with. So the two other Americans in the race, Shadrach B. Watt and Gabe Proctor from the Mammoth Track Club, were going to be aiming for 210 as well. So I was looking for them right off the line. I was looking for Reed Coolset from Canada, Scott Overall from the UK. So there were kind of a couple of us that had talked beforehand, and we said, let's try to be a pack for as long as we can and work together to get as far in the race together as we can and make it easier for everyone. And then, towards the end, it's just whatever you have left, just go for it. So pretty much right off the line, we all found one another and then tried to find our pacer, who probably took us a couple hundred meters to find him. But once we did, we pretty much just formed a group and we stuck together. And, we were a little slow to start out. So I think the goal pace was about 304 to 305 per kilometer, which would be about 1524, 1525 per 5K. I think starting out, our first 5K was maybe 1532 or something, a little over 1530. So we were a little bit slow, which was kind of nice. I mean, I'd rather go out in a marathon a little bit too slow than a little too fast. And it felt really comfortable, felt really smooth. And it was really nice having such a big group to be running with. Anytime that you can run with a lot of people in a race that long, it's nice to be able to kind of mentally just turn off your mind and just focus on staying with the people around you. And it always kind of helps to keep everyone in check and keep everyone on pace towards the overall goal. So the first 5K was a little bit slow. The second 5K was a little bit too fast. So, I looked down at one point, I think I saw maybe 2:59 for one of the kilometers. And that was something that Coach Ben and I had talked about beforehand. We said, we really, 304 to 305 per K is what we're aiming for. 303, it's okay, but it's getting a little fast. 302, like, really don't want to see anything. Once you start getting to 302, it's just getting too fast. It's going to be over, you're going to be over your head. And I think the second 5K was like 15:12. So, about 12 or 13 seconds too fast. So, that 5K, I was still feeling pretty good, but I could definitely tell that the pace had picked up. So I was a little bit concerned that, if we stayed on that pace, it would have been shooting more for like 208, 209 low, which was just a little bit faster than what we wanted for this race. So luckily after that, the pacers were able to kind of dial in and we all kind of found the right gauge. And the next couple 5Ks were right in that right range. So, everything was pretty smooth. We went through halfway at 104.57, so pretty much right on target. And then the pacers stayed with us through about 30K and then they dropped out. And then, there was a little bit of yo-yoing with the pace after that. It was kind of, people were starting to get tired, so people were starting to fall off. And then, a couple of us were trying to get back on to the right rhythm, to kind of try and push through as long as we could. And so I was able to maintain, I think I maintained 210 pace through about 36K, and then started to fall off a little bit and legs got heavy and, lost a couple minutes in the last 5K. But I would say, overall, it was a better race execution than what I've done in the past. I felt better most of the way. Nutrition was good. I was able to get in, you know, all of my fluids and all of my calories and carbohydrates during the race without any stomach trouble. So that was really good. You know, anytime you can do that in the marathon, it's extremely helpful. So I think that's a testament to all the training that I did for my stomach leading up to Berlin. Because before, you know, I think I've talked about this before, but I think that was my downfall in Chicago. Just I didn't take in any calories or any carbohydrates pretty much the entire race, and I realized that at about 21 miles, and that's when I kind of fell apart. So, you know, that was really a focus that I wanted to have in this cycle, and I think it paid off on race day because I was able to get in probably, I think I was getting in close to like 80 grams of carbohydrates per hour, which is more than most people can do. So, you know, I think it was a good thing and helped me to delay that feeling of, you know, running into the wall towards the end of the marathon. So just going to keep working on that. And there's a lot of positive to take away from the race this time.
Yeah. So now that it's over and you're back in the States and you've had some time to reflect, and I'm sure you've talked to Ben about it. Do you guys, or do you and Ben feel like, you know, Berlin was the right choice? You know, as far as, you know, that race in particular and, you know, running the marathon, leading up to the trials, you think it paid off and there was solid takeaways?
Yeah, I think, you know, I definitely am happy that we chose to do a marathon, and I think Berlin was a really good choice. After LA in March, we kind of were back and forth about whether or not to do another marathon before the trials or just hunker down and put in a really heavy fall or really heavy training this fall. And so that was kind of the two options that we had were either run a marathon or just train through the fall. And I think Ben initially was a little bit more leaning towards the side of just training through the fall. And when I approached him about the idea of running another marathon and said I'd really like to do it and get more experience and, you know, try to run a fast time again, you know, and I gave him my reasons as to why I wanted to do that. I think we got on the same page pretty quickly. And so after that, there were really only a couple options, and Berlin was, you know, the one that was kind of standing out to us and spoke to us a little bit more. So, you know, we went with that one, and I think it was a really good choice. I have no regrets about it. I think, you know, I think every marathon you do, you can learn something about yourself and about the preparations and about, you know, race execution and all these different things that are going to help you run better in the next one. So, for me, it was about just getting another notch of experience in my belt, and I feel like we achieved that. So I'm really happy that we did another one. I think it's definitely going to pay off at the trials. So, you know, and now I've run 2:12 versus having run 2:16 before. So, yeah, I think there was a lot of positives to take away from it. And overall, I'd say it was a really good decision.
Yeah, so you kind of bring me to my next point, or, you know, I guess I'm wondering, so now you got this marathon on your belt, obviously a huge, huge PR, and what I would imagine is a big confidence booster going into the trials. You know, what do you think, you know, kind of, I guess, as a, combining your experience, you know, in the last, in the three marathons you've done, and maybe specifically with Berlin, what are you kind of taking into the trials as far as, you know, things that you've learned and things that you want to maybe continue to work on to, you know, obviously hit those goals for the spring trials.
I think the biggest thing for me was probably just kind of working on my confidence. I think, you know, before I had run 61:47 for the half marathon, which was, you know, if you put it into some of the online running calculators, it pops out a race equivalent of somewhere around 2:10 for the marathon. And, you know, so I had some confidence from that, but at the same time, you know, it's essentially just a computer that's using a formula and spitting this time out. So it's kind of, something that gave me a good goal to shoot for, but I obviously hadn't achieved it yet, and well, I still haven't achieved it yet, but I had confidence with myself that I could run really well and that I could put myself in a position to try to make the Olympic team next year, but, you know, I hadn't really performed in a marathon in a manner that would kind of put me on the short list for the trials. So I think it was really good to gain the experience and to actually run a marathon faster than what I had done before to kind of validate that for me. So, I think that was really valuable. And, you know, I think moving towards the trials, it's just all going to be about continuing to put in the work every day and just, you know, continuing to build on what I've been doing the last couple of years since Ben and I started working together. And, you know, I'm confident that what we're doing has me on the right track, and that, you know, I'll just continue to make gains with each marathon. So there's no secret. There's no, you know, it's not a magic pill that you can take to get you to the next level. It's just consistent hard work and putting in the work over time. And, you know, I'm confident that the results will continue to come.
Yeah, so you you talked about, you know, you're kind of back and forth between just, you know, a big fall training block and doing the marathon. Obviously, you decided to go with the marathon. That seems like that was a great call. But what does it look like, you know, kind of after the marathon until the trials? What are your kind of plans, you know, from a training perspective? Do you have any kind of interim goals that you're trying to reach before you get to the trials? And can you take us through, you know, just kind of what the next several months look like for you and you know, any specifics there?
Sure. Yeah. So I tend to work really well with having a singular focus for a long time, kind of just putting my head down and grinding. So, you know, I'm on break right now. Like I talked about before, I'll take a little bit of time off and then kind of get back into running in the next couple weeks here. And Ben and I haven't talked too specifically about anything that we want to do before the trials. So that's obviously kind of the next big thing is the trials, right? So we want to focus on the marathon and just being top three there and making the team. But in the meantime, you know, I'll just get back to training and maybe run a couple of races just for fun, just to kind of get back into it, to help kind of jumpstart my fitness and, you know, get back in the groove of good, solid training and just have a little fun while I'm doing it. You know, it's hard when you're in really heavy marathon training and once you kind of become a marathoner, you know, it's 1 to 2 marathon races a year, and then you don't necessarily get the chance to race that often. So, you know, I'm hoping to be able to run a couple races just to have a little fun, get back out on the roads, get back in the groove of competing, and just kind of see where that leads us up to the trials. I don't think I'll focus on anything too specific before then. You know, I'm not going to try to run a super fast half marathon or 10K or anything. It's just, there's just not enough time to have, you know, dedicated training towards those distances. So, you know, it's just going to be getting back to training in the next couple of weeks and then building up the miles and getting back to work for the trials pretty much.
Yeah. So, so looking long-term, obviously your, like you said, goals, kind of, you know, broad goal or biggest goal for the trials is to be top three and make the team. Is there anything that kind of runs through your head, you know, maybe goal-wise, specific to the trials that you think about, you know, as the time gets closer? Is there anything that you feel like you kind of need to dial in, you know, kind of last pieces that you feel like if they were in place would really make you feel better? Or, you know, is it just like you said, you know, is it just kind of a head down grind it out, and, you know, the one goal is to make the team and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the Olympic trials are all just about showing up on race day and performing well on that on that one course in LA at the, you know, at the same time as everyone else is going to be out there. So finishing top three is all that matters. It doesn't matter if you've run 202 or 216 before, you know, it's all about whoever gets top three on that day. And, you know, that's our biggest focus moving forward. So I'll do whatever it takes to get me to that point in training. So, you know, for me, it's just, I think it's just continuing to, like you said, just continuing to put the head down and grind and focus on the little things, you know, and just continue to fine tune. You know, I think it's all about just more, putting in more work, putting in more miles, callusing the legs, and just building towards February 13th. You know, I think little things to work on, you know, just more strength and conditioning stuff, more drills, more plyometrics and core work and mental training and, you know, all these, you know, quote-unquote little things that people talk about. And it's just about kind of fine-tuning all those and then adding all of the hard training into the mix. And, you know, hopefully that's a good recipe for success on race day. So that's what we'll focus on. And, you know, I'm talking about this now is getting me really excited to get back to work. So, you know, I'm going to have to talk to Ben pretty soon here and just figure out, just talk more specifically about what the plan is going to be for the next couple months. We haven't really had that talk. We usually like to give it a few weeks and let the race marinate in both of our minds before we make plans for the next one. So that's kind of the phase that we're in right now. So, but talking about all this right now is giving me some ideas for the next segment. So, yeah, we'll have that conversation when I get back to Flagstaff next week, and then it'll be full steam ahead towards the trials.
That's awesome. Well, it's gonna be a good sign that even a few days after your marathon, you're getting excited talking about the next one. So that's gotta be a good sign of things to come. Hopefully, is you're still kind of lost that loving feeling, right? Still excited to get out there and mix it up. So I'm sure Ben's excited to hear that.
yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I know a lot of people when they get to the end of a marathon buildup or a track season or whatever it might be, they look forward to the downtime. And I'm one of those people. I think maybe one of the rare people who, I hate taking time off. I really don't like not running and not training. It's very difficult for me. So, Ben knows that I'm always thinking about what I can be doing to continue to push myself to get to the next level. And I'm sure he had no doubt in his mind that that was no different this time around. So, yeah, it was pretty much right. I was actually after Berlin, I was in the finishing tent, and I was getting a post-race massage, and it was already going through my mind as I was lying on the table, like, all right, when can I start running again? I was thinking about the dates. I'm like, all right, what if I have to take this amount of time off, what day do I get to start again, and when can I resume putting in the work? So, yeah, for me, it's just always about, what can I be doing in training to push myself and to try to get to the next level. So I know Ben knows that, and he's really good about kind of pulling in the reins when he needs to and letting me go crazy at other times. So, yeah, I'm sure that we'll have that conversation soon and get back to work after that.
That's fantastic. Well, Matt, it was really, really nice talking to you again. Huge congratulations on your 212 at the Berlin Marathon. And, yeah, man, I hope you enjoy the time with your family and try to take it as easy as you can and not let your mind wander too much towards the next training block. But I know you're excited to get back out there and, like you said, start putting your nose to the grindstone.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, I appreciate it. It was nice chatting with you.
Absolutely, Matt. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, guys.
All right.
This is Taylor Thomas talking with Matt Yano. Coming off of a 4-minute PR at the BMW Berlin Marathon. I'm Taylor Thomas with Thomas Endurance Coaching. You can find me at thomasendurancecoaching.com. And thanks, as always, for tuning in to the Coach Ben Rosario Show.